This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is the best of the WIP Morning Show with Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you. Off and rolling this Wednesday morning. Well, really frustrating. And I mean highly frustrating Phillies game last night. We'll talk about it quite a bit today. You know, also the Sixers and Flyers obviously playing out the string. But Phillies, the opposite. They're just in the process of cranking it up. We felt they had cranked it up. And then last night they took a step back. Look, we'll talk about it all. Also 2 weeks and a day now to the NFL draft. So we'll be all over some draft stuff today. Mel Kiper's latest mock draft, we have that. Ruben Amaro with us at 7 o'clock. Your chance to win Phillies tickets for a game next week all through the show. All of it with us on the phone lines. Hop aboard those phone lines. You can only win those Phillies tickets if you join us at 215-592-9494. Rich. Rich!
Hi, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Squirrels live so much longer in captivity than out in the wild. It's incredible that they can live as long as 20 years as a pet.
Wow.
I don't know who's keeping a squirrel. But 20 years.
I guarantee you there are some people who have squirrels as pets.
We know somebody who had a squirrel as a pet.
That is
Jonesy.
But they are.
He does?
He had one like a long
That's
time
amazing.
Ago when he had the farm.
Boy, that is bizarre.
They usually die after a year in the wild, and really, really old ones in the wild can get up to 6 years. But that's the max.
That's a cool fact right there, man. Well, I guess it's good to be a captive.
My dad used to displace every...
Thank you, James.
My
you
dad know, would just... humanely trap and displace every squirrel across the creek.
Because he didn't like them
house.
On the property,
he
right?
He hated squirrels. He did it hundreds of times. Squirrels taken across the creek. Didn't
they
kill them. What they just displaced them.
They find their way back. They're
I
like they're like Rojas. He just finds his way back.
They're All really right. fast.
So yeah, exactly. Let's get to last night, guys. There's a lot in that game. It was almost a really fun game, actually. I mean, there was a lot of great stuff. The Schwarber homer, the triple.
He's so
the,
cool.
The Sosa catch.
He's feeling it, too.
Like, the Phillies had a nice comeback in there. Like, there was a lot of good stuff, but obviously the negative stands out the most. I mean, primarily because the Phillies lost the game, but also because of how they lost the game. Let's go back fairly early in the game. I mean, this was the biggest play. This was the biggest moment of the game. When Sosa just did not act like a center field, Rojas did not act like a center fielder,
especially with a guy who's never played left field before.
It was just a bad moment to say the least. Let's listen.
Swinging a high fly ball left center, Sosa coming over in the alley. He's calling and he lets it. Actually, it ends up dropping right in front of Johan Rojas, and Riley's into second base, and obviously inexperienced in the outfield.
This is Johan's ball 100%. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind.
All right, that's Stocker there at the end, obviously. Stocker and Fransky last night. So here's the deal, and you can weigh in at 215-592-9494 on everything from last night. But I'm going to play a little game called Micro and Macro. This game is called Micro and Macro. Here's how it works. I tell you the micro, then what I do after that, James?
Tell us the macro.
I tell you the macro.
What a catchy, fun game.
All right, here we go. And I'm going to give you two different, you know, come on down, Johnny. What do they win? Or in this case, what do they lose? Well, two different issues within the team. So issue one from last night is the outfield. So here's the micro. Rojas messed up. The name you'll hear today the most on our show in all likelihood will be Johan Rojas because he clearly messed up. You know, it was notable that both Stocker and then Ben Davis on the TV broadcast, they both immediately said, that's on Rojas. So the micro is Rojas messed up that moment. The macro is the Phillies outfield, as put together by Dave Dombrowski, remains weak. It just does, guys. It just does. There, of the five guys that play out there, there's really only one that I know I feel like pretty good with. And even a guy like Castellanos, he can go up and down and up and down, up and down, 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 down. But he can be up, and he's obviously an above-average player. But the other four, Kepler, Marsh, Rojas, and I love Sosa, but if we're going to start viewing him as an outfielder now, you know, which he will be at times, we got to acknowledge the fact that he's an inexperienced outfielder, and that did play a part last night. So the macro is the Phillies outfield for teams that are trying to win a World Series is, in a word, weak. It's a fact. Let's get to issue number two last night, because obviously Wheeler did not have his best stuff, and he was put in a compromised position by that moment from Rojas, but he did not pitch particularly well. We can't sugarcoat that. Not that he was
still gave up the home run after the play. Totally. And all,
not that he was a disaster, but he wasn't sharp last night. That's okay. Okay, Steve Carlton has bad games. Curt Schilling has bad games.
Chris Sale had a bad game.
Roy Halladay can have a bad game. It's okay. But let's talk about the issue that's not as okay. Micro. The bullpen last night struggled. A few different guys. Macro. Philly's bullpen doesn't look good.
Nope.
Philly's bullpen does not look good. And the two guys I'd say you probably feel at this point the most confident in have both really had some struggles this year, Strom and Kirkring. And they're the two guys I think most people would say you feel the best about. So, look, a lot of ways you can react to this game and what it all means in the big picture. But to me, it does appear very clear that the outfield and the bullpen are both issues out of the gate. Despite the fact team has a great record still at 7-3, your chance to weigh in, 215-592-9494. John, break it down. What are you thinking about last night and the whole deal?
I do not think our outfield will make that mistake again this season. And that makes me feel a little bit better.
Okay.
But that sucks. That sucks with a capital S, what just happened. And I've got some sympathy for Sosa and Rojas, and I'm frustrated with Rojas, more with Rojas, because he's, I'm told, supposed to control everything out there
totally
as
his
a center
ball.
Fielder.
Yep.
You need to make the call. Apparently Sosa said you
right.
instead of staying quiet.
Right.
And that just completely threw Rojas off. That's on you, Rojas. Do a better job. Sosa also, you know, don't, you know, next time don't say anything, and I don't believe he will.
Obviously a learning experience for Sosa with his first game as a starter in left field.
Sure.
There's no question about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. But then, you know, we didn't lose the game because of that ball drop. That Braves team had a lot of motivation. I mean, they started
But they
the
probably
season.
Win the game if that ball doesn't drop. The Phillies probably win the game because that tacked on three early.
Maybe. Remember, we had Zach Wheeler walk
I know.
A guy onto base for that three-run homer.
Yeah, I know.
It wasn't just that play
I
that
agree.
Allowed guys success last night.
Yep.
He allowed the walk that made it a three-run homer. He allowed the homer. And you know, last night, Topper, when he was talking about all of this, he said at the end of it, I heard at the end of the interview, he ended the Rojas question with Wheeler wasn't quite as sharp as he normally
sure.
is.
Yeah.
So, hey, it all ties together. And we didn't lose just because of that. Strom, I know Strom had more than five pitches in him. And little things like that become bigger. when you're playing a team that started the season 0-7 and they were hearing all about being 1-8, that's what happens. You lose that game. And it wasn't just those two boneheaded and their boneheadedness in the outfield. Hopefully we got most of that out of our system for a while, and we'll be positive for a while. Let's congratulate ourselves on getting Chris Sale out of the game
early.
Yeah,
that was nice.
That's
good.
But
John, you got to admit, for a World Series contending team, and we hope this team is, and I think will be, the outfield is weak as expected.
Yeah.
The bullpen is weaker than expected. And
yes,
we had some concerns, but like, you don't know that you're going to get DeStrom in the last couple of years. You know, like, relievers can go up and down.
Okay, but last night he could have pitched more than the five pitches in the one inning. We went straight to Kirkring, and then Kirkring once again wasn't able to hold down the fort, which is something that's more of a trend than I would have expected.
And also, the other thing is they can't go to those two guys all the time. Like, because it's going to be those two and Alvarado quite a bit, but like, you can't have these guys pitching, 97 games this year.
I mean, it feels like they pitch almost every game.
Yeah, well, you know why? Because Rob Thompson
doesn't trust anybody.
The other guys.
Yes,
yeah.
Because the bullpen's light.
I mean,
we knew it coming in.
What was Banks in the eighth inning last night?
Yeah, and Banks is not it.
Terrible.
He's just not it.
That is like, and I'm not ripping Rob Thompson on Banks in the eighth inning. He's got what he's got. I mean, he really doesn't have a ton out there right now. He really doesn't. Now, look, we can talk, and it's true, and we'll say it for months. Come playoff time, if the Phillies have six healthy starters, and they very well may, with Ranger and with and the kid,
Painter.
Two of those guys could go in the bullpen, and that could completely, completely reconfigure the bullpen for October. But you also got 6 months to get to October. You got a long way to go, and it's very important to not overcook. It's very important to not overcook Strom and Kirkring. But they are going to be leaned on, and there are going to be games. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, flat out, there are going to be games this year during the regular season that the Phillies lose that they won last year with a better bullpen, as presently constituted. Maybe that changes, at some point with the trade, maybe. But I don't expect that anytime too soon. So it's a little bit of a different formula this year. You can just feel it in the game. Especially when, in a game like last night, when Wheeler doesn't get to go as long as he normally would, in part because he had extra pitches in that inning because of the miscue by Rojas, pitches add up, you're in the bullpen a little earlier, and then you kind of just start, if you have the lineup card in your head, so to speak, you just start mentally going through, wait a minute, they don't have enough good pitchers in the bullpen to get through the ninth inning and me feel confident. They just don't. Your phone calls on all of it, 215-592-9494. Look, I don't want to skew too negative. I mean that. I mean, they're still a great team. I believe that. They're a team that put a lot of good stuff out there last night. There's no question about that. But I'd say last night was the first game this year where there was a little bit of an alarm go off in my head because of two different aspects of the team. The outfield, namely left-center field combination in the bullpen.
Which, to be fair, the people who were upset with the offseason, yeah, those are the two areas. Those are the two one-person signings where we needed more. Mm-hmm. So, it did show last night.
You asked me why
they wouldn't win the World Series before the season, and I said because of the outfield.
Yeah, no, listen, it's a legitimate concern. It is. All right, your phone calls, 215-592-9494. Reaction to last night, obviously big picture as well. Joe Cameron, John Ritchie, just off and rolling on 94 WIP. All right, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook. As always, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, they're giving new customers an offer unlike any for the first major, and of course this one this week is at Augusta. Because right now, new customers get $250 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. What a deal. You win a $5 bet. Well, first off, you win the bet. Good for you. That's great. Second thing is you get $250 in bonus bets. That is amazing as well. That is available for you at FanDuel.com/hammer. Obviously, find the golfer that you think is going to take home the big prize with, I would say certainly the greatest golf tournament in the world. It is a great one. It is at Augusta, and it is available for you to bet on at FanDuel.com/hammer. So many ways to bet, not only who's going to win, but, first-round leaderboard, top 20s, top 30s, all sorts of ways to bet golf. It's all there for you at FanDuel.com/hammer.
You're listening to the best of the WIP Morning Show with Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie.
Yeah, that was a bad play, man. Obviously. Even Dre knows it wasn't good. Can you imagine hanging out back in the day with a Dre, Snoop, Tupac
Ice Cube,
party?
Tupac, yes. All those guys, that'd be nuts.
You could imagine, John? You hung out with one of them one time. Let's not act like you were rolling with Pac now.
All right.
You don't think John would fit in perfectly?
John's saying, picture me rolling. So what was Snoop like? I know you said he was very skinny. What was his let me just guess
this. He was unbelievably into football. He was such a huge fan of the game, and he thought the way that I played was the coolest thing ever.
So he knew you?
Yes. He singled me out. He sent his assistant to go find me. The whole team was out there on the field because he was filming some, like, field goal kicking thing for an MTV show. And I thought, man, if I go out there, I'm going to be waiting forever, and I don't want to bug him. So I was leaving. It was after a workout, and this guy comes running in, and he says, Snoop has something for you. And he brings this awesome, like, jumpsuit, Snoop Dogg jumpsuit from his new line, and he started getting undressed. Like, Snoop himself, he comes running in, and he just starts getting naked right there in front of me. Yeah. Now, we were in the locker room.
Bottom naked?
Top and the bottoms, it was boxers.
Okay.
So, but...
So not a tiny whitey's guy.
As skinny, no, not at the time. As skinny as I've ever seen. Remember, I'm in a locker room with guys who are almost 400 pounds in some cases. And here's this guy. I swear he looked like he weighed like 100 pounds at the most. Mm. The skinniest person I'd ever seen. But man, he was such a huge fan of contact, of wrapping up, of linebackers and fullbacks, you know, the medium guys, the guys in the middle who are running down and covering kickoffs, you know, the guys who are doing all the dirty work. He really appreciated that stuff.
Good.
And he wanted to, you know, he wanted to coach. And I think he did end up coaching a lot with his kids.
One of his kids in his league that he started is CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. His league is amazing.
That's cool.
He's done a lot with it. Yeah. One of his favorite all-time players is Harold Carmichael.
Boy, that's random. Because he's not that old. Snoop's not that old.
Well, he's older than
I am. He was about 20 in 91,
he's in
right?
His 50s,
wasn't
right?
he about 18 or 19 when
he's
burst on the
like
scene?
Like 55.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, Harold goes back to the 70s.
Yeah. Well, Snoop is like well-educated on football.
Yeah.
He's really into football.
He also is really supportive and runs like female flag football leagues, too.
That's so cool.
Wait, why was he taking his clothes off? Was he wearing the same...
Oakland Raiders locker room. He was filming something for MTV at the Raiders facility at the time. It was the off season.
Okay.
And so a lot of guys were there. Maybe we were there for an OTA or something.
Wow.
Not sure.
That's pretty cool. Look, 215-592.
I still have the jumpsuit. I'll bring
You should wear it.
It's way too big.
We should display that on YouTube.
I got to look for it.
The YouTube show.
Put
that up someday. Hey, you can watch our show on YouTube. We're live right now on YouTube. And also, of course, you can watch later in the day on YouTube because it all gets housed on that thing that... Wait, was it Al Gore that called it the internets? Or what did he say? Where did he invent the internet?
He said he invented the internet. Yeah. That is correct, yes.
Why would he say that?
Because he believes he did.
I'm confused. All right. 215-592-9494.
You say you're going to be president. People say crazy things.
Joe would try to claim.
Better chance of me as president than Al Gore invented the internet.
I actually disagree with that.
Hey, when you call in today, obviously the Phil's the main topic. We're going to get to a lot of Eagle stuff shortly as well. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Phil's and Giants Tuesday of next week. It's a 6:45 first pitch. At Citizens Bank Park, for tickets to this or other upcoming Phillies games, visit Phillies.com. You know, this particular day, April 15th, will be Jackie Robinson Day. Prior to the game, the Phillies, as they do on an annual basis, will host an on-field tribute to celebrate the legacy of the great Jackie Robinson, someone that we're all very, very familiar with. But today, when we give away the tickets, here's how you can win them. You got to tell us someone or something that we know of, very famous, but we actually don't know that much about. Like, here's the deal. So we were talking before the show. I'll call him the great gunman. Bad guy. Billy the Kid. Billy the Kid was convicted back on this day in 1881. And I was surprised amongst our group because I think I know enough about him. I don't know a ton, but I know, you know, outlaw, murder guy, you know, eventually taken down guy. But I don't really know much. Apparently others didn't
clearly
even know.
Clearly by outlaw, murder guy.
Others didn't even know that. James was like, is he a cowboy? Is he not a cowboy? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what state he was in. I don't know what his garb was. But he was an outlaw. Here's the deal. Today, put those thinking caps on. It's the tough one. It's not that tough. You got to thread the tough part is you got to thread the needle. You got to give us someone or something very famous, but that most people in society don't really know that much about. Let me give you an example. I would say most of you listening right now have heard of El Cid.
Yes.
El Cid. I couldn't tell you his nationality. I couldn't tell you his century. I couldn't tell you what he did.
Something to do with drugs, I think, maybe.
No, I don't think it's drugs. No. I don't think it's drugs. He was some kind of warrior guy, I think. I don't think he was drugs. But anyway, that goes to show you. Like, El Cid.
It goes to show how
like,
little.
What's his
I've
deal?
Heard of it.
All right, so here's the deal. It's not so much about you. It's about the greater society. Who is someone or something that most people have heard of but just don't know a ton about? Best answer, whoever threads that needle with something very famous, but also kind of obscure, you can win the Phillies tickets for next week. John Ritchie, give me an example. What's right through
like
your mind?
I don't like this side at all. I'm just letting it be known. I don't really think it makes much sense. And threading the needle doesn't really, I don't really get it.
Okay.
So this is, I don't understand the produce section. I don't think anyone understands how to eat any of that produce at the supermarket.
Yeah, that's a like horrible answer.
Pomegranates.
you clearly don't understand what we're talking about here.
Yeah,
you clearly don't understand what we're saying here.
All right, produce. Devin, give me an answer. Something famous, but also kind of obscure in a certain way.
Joan of Arc. I think a lot of people, at least myself, like we know who she is, but I couldn't tell you when she was alive what she did.
Warrior. Do you know she was a warrior?
1500s, I think, right?
I would guess that she's a warrior.
Female warrior is what she's famous. Yeah. French female warrior.
I did not know she was French.
Yeah. So we know a little bit more. Huh? I know. All right, Seltzer. Very famous.
This side topic.
Yeah.
What's so confusing about it? The question is, what something you don't know
other people
about
other
people don't know about. So, other people don't know, but you know about?
No, I don't know what you don't understand.
So if you don't know about it,
you've heard of the person.
How do you know?
John, listen. You've heard of the person or the thing, but you can't speak much about it. Like, Joan of Arc, here's what I know. French woman warrior. That's all I know. That's not as much as I know about George Washington. I could give you 100 facts about George Washington. I give you 3 facts about Joan of Arc. Everyone's heard of Joan of Arc. Does that make sense?
Not really.
Okay.
I'm still not following.
Okay. I think there's other people out there smarter today than Stanford. Seltzer, give me an answer that actually works.
Yeah, I love this because you can look like an idiot right away.
You can. And I'm going to be ruthless on the callers today.
Because I've heard this a million times. I know it's something to do with electricity, I think. Yep. I don't know. Superconductors. What the hell are they? No idea. It's a thing.
I agree with that.
Right?
Yeah.
You've heard of them.
My brother worked on one.
Smarter people than me know.
Some people know. I have no idea what a superconductor is.
Is this like mostly science stuff?
It might be.
Not everything.
Joan of Arc was
saying. I would say science or history.
But I feel like this is like, this is the stuff that you should look up.
Well, people might.
Like, you could Google it, and that's where you would say, there's a lot more I could learn about it.
Well, yeah, but, like, before you do that it can be your answer.
Correct. Rhea, give me an answer.
So I know
make it better than the banana, please.
No.
Pomegranate.
Sometimes I'll say this to people, and usually they're under the age of 40, maybe even 30, and I'll go, what are you, like, Zapruder-ing that?
Yeah.
And they go, what do you mean? And I go, the Zapruder film? They have no idea what it is.
Yeah, so I would say that's a little different. That, to me, is more like someone that doesn't know it at all, which is slightly different than my example of El Cid that I think most people have heard of.
But there are some people like my age, I've brought it up, and they have no idea what Zapruder
is. I get it. I do get it. All right, give us a big-time answer. Thread that needle, 215-592-9494. By the way, before we go back to the phones, let's listen to Sosa's catch last night, not the non-catch. By Rojas, but the actual catch by Sosa, because it was phenomenal. I mean, it was like extra phenomenal. And we shouldn't, let it go by without acknowledging it because of what went wrong in the game. Let's listen to the moment when Sosa made a great grab.
0-2, hit in the air to left field, pretty well hit. Sosa's getting a chance, over toward the corner, toward the wall, and he reaches up, and he made the catch! Oh, like Spider-Man! Edmundo Sosa getting his feet wet here in the bottom of the first inning. He just robbed Marcell Ozuna of a home run. And look at the smile on his face.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, for his first start ever and the first opportunity he ever got in his first start, that was incredible.
So cool.
What happened thereafter? Yeah, not so much.
Is there nothing he cannot do?
Love the guy. I'm a big fan. Of course, you know, when all is said and done, Ray, he'll probably be back at like 250. Because,
I know.
You
know. That's okay. We'll take advantage of it.
We're all like, we'll ride the 400 wave while we got it. All right, let's go to the phones. Your reaction to everything going on here. Mike in Douglasville. Mike, good morning.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing great, Mike.
Hey, so first things first, all credit to Sosa for that catch. It was unbelievable. I was shocked when he caught it, but hey, he made a good catch. I'm proud of him. So let me ask you this question. Why was Sosa in left and Rojas in center field? And I have an answer. I just want to see what you guys think.
Well, the simple answer is because Rojas is a better center fielder than Sosa.
Okay, but no, I'm not saying why wasn't Sosa playing center or anything like that. Okay. But why were those two specifically?
Because Marsh doesn't hit left-handed hitters well, and Rob Thompson knows that, and he went with two right-handed bats.
It's because Sosa's bat is freaking hot,
right?
Thompson does not want to take him out of the lineup.
Part of
it. And why was Rojas in center instead of Marsh? Yes, because he has a little bit better of a bat than Marsh when it comes to lefties, but also Rojas's defense is better than Marsh's. So that way he can make up for any insufficiencies that Sosa has.
He maybe can make up for deficiencies Sosa has.
Well,
but
I mean, if you just put it to thought, then that's probably the answer. But whether or not it actually works out in reality, that's a different question.
Well, let me ask you this question, because, Mike, here's what I'm confused about. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. What's your point?
If this team would have done what I believe they should have done for the last year, over past the year, and this has nothing to do with my previous calls about Bryce Harper and Wright.
Sure.
This has everything to do with Trey Turner in center. Trey Turner in center, if he has the opportunity to work on it, I'm not saying put him there tomorrow, I'm not saying they're put him there today, but if he has the opportunity to work on it in an offseason, get better at it, get familiar with it, he has that star power, that cachet to call off someone like Sosa.
Well, it's not about star power. Well, let me just clarify one thing. It's not about star power to call off, because you can have a scrub center fielder and it's still his ball and he's got to know it. And the left fielder and right fielder got to know that it's the center fielder's ball if he calls for it. And the problem is Rojas didn't call for it. That's the main problem.
It's Rojas' fault.
Now, your point about maybe Trey. Go ahead, Mike.
Do you have a microphone on them? Because Sosa could have been sitting there saying, I got it.
That's not what he said. That's not what he said. It came out after the game that Sosa was. Yes. Yeah, so, matter of fact, Rob, Mike, I'm going to play the audio for you right now. Let's listen to Rob Thompson after the game last night. Hang on a sec, Mike. Let's listen to Topper after the game on what happened in the outfield. He gave an explanation.
Yeah, there was miscommunication, but Rojas is the captain out there, and he's got to take charge. He's got priority, and so we talked to him about it. Especially, you know, guy's playing left field for the first time in his life. So.
Was Sosa calling it? Is that what the misunderstanding?
Actually, he was saying you.
Oh. Okay.
Which you shouldn't say anything. So there was a little bit of both. But yeah, it's Rojas' ball.
All right, so Mike, to be fair to Rojas, what Topper's alluding to is that Rojas got a little confused hearing Sosa saying you, but not fully putting it all together, and he deferred to Sosa, who Rojas thought Sosa was about to catch it. The problem is twofold. One, Sosa shouldn't say you. That's clear, because that can create confusion. The second problem is, even if the left fielder calls for it, if the center fielder can catch it and calls him off, that's what he should do. And that's not what Rojas did.
Okay. Yeah, no, I didn't hear that before. So, but, I mean, listen, the general crux of my conversation that I've called in multiple times about, if we were to have an outfield of Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, and Nick Castellanos, then ultimately we don't have Sosa in left field for the first time ever. Sosa could be playing second base, where he's probably a lot more comfortable, and we could be having the conversation about being able to trade someone like Kepler, Marsh, Rojas.
I agree.
Who obviously aren't necessary now, a relief pitcher.
I agree with that. All right, my man, give me an answer. Something really famous, but a lot of people don't know much about.
So I'm not going to lie, I'm a little confused, kind of like Richie. So I don't know if this is going to work or not, but we're going to try it. Mm-hmm. You guys know the saying, cooler than sliced bread, right?
Yes.
You guys also know who Betty White is, right?
Yes.
Did you know Betty White was born before the invention of sliced bread?
I did not know that, and that's definitely not an applicable answer to win the tickets today, but it's a cool fact.
Fun fact.
So how did they not slice bread before 1920 or something?
They just put loaves in, and I guess people ripped them apart.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Or you sliced it yourself.
That's hard to believe. I mean, that's really hard to believe. Hey, we got two different Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevy is your Corvette headquarters. Have you dreamt about owning a Corvette? Well, now's the time. Visit ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. All right, two different poll questions. The first, and we're going to the other sports we haven't gotten to yet today. The draft, 15 days. Trying to gauge your interest level and excitement for this one. Poll question, are you excited for the NFL draft in 15 days? Because candidly, I'm going to tell you, I've noticed very, very, very few people that are really, really excited. And normally by this time we would be. Now, 30-second pick changes the equation a bit. But we ask you, are you excited for the NFL draft in 15 days? Three choices. A, very excited. B, a little excited. C, not excited. It's a weird one, man. This is a different ramp up to a draft. It's a slow incline. I'll put it that way. So you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly weigh in on the phone lines as well, 215-592-9494. Second poll question, Sixers and Flyers are both winding down. Inglorious, as both seasons have been, no question. Both teams are going to miss the postseason. That is factually true. Looking ahead to next year, and maybe they both miss it again. Maybe. But we will ask you this question. Which team is more likely to make the playoffs next season? The Flyers, who at some point have got to sign players and add and ramp up and build and frickin' make the playoffs, or the Sixers, who if they have their main guys healthy, certainly should make the playoffs, then it's a matter of do you think they'll actually be healthy enough for the team to make the playoffs? Better chance next year to make the playoffs. Is it the Flyers? Is it the Sixers? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. And weigh in on the phone lines at 215-592-9494. Speaking of weighing in, you can weigh in with a good question for AMA. We're doing that today at 720. Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways you can get to Seltzer to get to us. What are some questions you want to know? We'll get to that coming up later in the 7 o'clock hour. Ruben Amaro joins us next. Phone calls as well on a busy Wednesday morning on 94 WIP.
Whether you are a weekend warrior or competing at a high level, you are an athlete with goals and NovaCare Rehabilitation is here for you with NovaCare's Select Sports Center of Excellence. Their specialty locations focused on the needs of athletes. If you're injured, NovaCare will help you get back to playing your sport. They'll also help you prevent injuries from happening, and NovaCare will prepare you to compete at your highest level of performance. At all Select Sports Center of Excellence, athletes are treated for their specific injury, training needs, and goals. Most importantly, care is provided by sports-specific physical therapists who use advanced training and technology. For more than 30 years, NovaCare has long been the trusted Delaware Valley and South Jersey leader in physical therapy, hand therapy, and sports medicine. Select Sports Center of Excellence. Just one more way NovaCare is meeting your needs. To learn more about Select Sports Center of Excellence, go to NovaCare.com today. Excellence is earned. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.
This is the best of the WIP Morning Show with Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie.
Yeah, that was a bad play, man. Obviously. Even Dre knows it wasn't good. Can you imagine hanging out back in the day with a Dre Snoop Tupac
Ice Cube,
party.
Tupac, yeah. All those guys, that'd be nuts.
You could imagine, John. You hung out with one of them one time. Let's not act like you were rolling with Pac now.
All right.
You don't think John would fit in perfectly?
John's saying, picture me rolling. So, what was Snoop like? I know you said he was very skinny. What was his person? Let me just guess
he
this.
He was unbelievably into football. He was such a huge fan of the game, and he thought the way that I played was the coolest thing ever.
So he knew you?
Yes. He singled me out. He sent his assistant to go find me. The whole team was out there on the field because he was filming some like field goal kicking thing for an MTV show. And I thought, man, if I go out there, I'm going to be waiting forever and I don't want to bug him. So I was leaving. It was after a workout and this guy comes running in and he says, Snoop has something for you. And he brings this awesome like jumpsuit, Snoop Dogg jumpsuit from his new line. And he started getting undressed. Like Snoop himself, he comes running in and he just starts getting naked right there in front of me. Yeah. Now we were in the locker room.
Bottom naked?
Top and the bottoms, it was boxers.
Okay.
So, but
so that's not a tiny whitey's guy.
As skinny, no, not at the time. As skinny as I've ever seen. Remember, I'm in a locker room with guys who are almost 400 pounds in some cases. And here's this guy, I swear, he looked like he weighed like 100 pounds at the most. Mm. The skinniest person I'd ever seen. But, man, he was such a huge fan of contact, of wrapping up, of linebackers and fullbacks, you know, the medium guys, the guys in the middle who are running down and covering kickoffs, you know, the guys who are doing all the dirty work. He really appreciated that stuff.
Good.
And he wanted to, you know, he wanted to coach. And I think he did end up coaching a lot with his kids.
One of his kids in his league that he started is C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. His league is
amazing. That's cool.
He's done a lot with it. Yeah. One of his favorite all-time players is Harold Carmichael.
Boy, that's random. Because he's not that old. Snoop's not that old.
Well, he's older than
I am. He was about 20 in 91,
he's in
right?
His 50s, right?
Wasn't he about 18 or 19 when he burst on the scene?
He's 55.
Okay. Well, I mean, Harold goes back to the 70s.
Yeah. Well, Snoop is like educated on football. Yeah. He's up on football.
He also is really supportive and runs like female flag football leagues too.
That's so cool.
Wait, why was he taking his clothes off? Was he wearing the same
Oakland Raiders locker room. He was filming something for MTV at the Raiders facility at the time. It was the off season.
Okay.
And so a lot of guys were there. Maybe we were there for an OTA or something.
Wow. Not sure. That's pretty cool. Look, 215-592.
I still have the jumpsuit. I'll bring
it. You should wear it.
It's way too big.
We should display that on YouTube.
I got to look for it.
YouTube show. Put that up someday. Hey, you can watch our show on YouTube. We're live right now on YouTube. And also, of course, you can watch later in the day on YouTube because it all gets housed on that thing that. Wait, was it Al Gore that called it the internets? Or what did he say? Did he invent the internet?
He said he invented the internet. Yeah. That is correct, yes.
Why would he say that?
Because he believes he did.
I'm confused. All right, 215-592-9494.
You say you're going to be president.
That
people say
like
crazy things. You know?
Joe would try to claim.
Better chance of me as president than Al Gore invented the internet.
I actually disagree with that.
Hey, when you call in today, obviously the Phil's the main topic. We're going to get to a lot of Eagle stuff shortly as well. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Phil's and Giants Tuesday of next week. It's a 6:45 first pitch. At Citizens Bank Park, for tickets to this or other upcoming Phillies games, visit phillies.com. You know, this particular day, April 15th, will be Jackie Robinson Day. Prior to the game, the Phillies, as they do on an annual basis, will host an on-field tribute to celebrate the legacy of the great Jackie Robinson, someone that we're all very, very familiar with. But today, when we give away the tickets, here's how you can win them. You got to tell us someone or something that we know of, very famous, but we actually don't know that much about. Like, here's the deal. So we were talking before the show. I'll call him the great gunman. Bad guy. Billy the Kid. Billy the Kid was convicted back on this day in 1881. And I was surprised amongst our group because I think I know enough about him. I don't know a ton, but I know, you know, outlaw, murder guy, you know, eventually taken down guy. But I don't really know much. Apparently others didn't even know.
Clearly by outlaw murder guy.
Others didn't even know that. James is like, is he a cowboy? Is he not a cowboy? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what state he was in. I don't know what his garb was. But he was an outlaw. Here's the deal. Today, put those thinking caps on. It's the tough one. It's not that tough. You got to thread the tough part is you got to thread the needle. You got to give us someone or something very famous, but that most people in society don't really know that much about. Let me give you an example. I would say most of you listening right now have heard of El Cid.
Yes.
El Cid. I couldn't tell you his nationality. I couldn't tell you his century. I couldn't tell you what he did.
Something to do with drugs, I think, maybe.
No, I don't think it's drugs.
No?
I don't think it's drugs. He was some kind of warrior guy, I think. I don't think he was drugs. But anyway, that goes to show you. Like El Cid.
It goes to show how
like,
little.
What's his
I've
deal?
Heard of it.
All right, so here's the deal. It's not so much about you. It's about the greater society. Who is someone or something that most people have heard of but just don't know a ton about? Best answer, whoever threads that needle with something very famous but also kind of obscure, you can win the Phillies tickets for next week. John Ritchie, give me an example. What's right
on
through
like
your mind?
I don't like this side at all. I'm just letting it be known. I don't really think it makes much sense. And threading the needle doesn't really – I don't really get it.
Okay.
So – this is, I don't understand the produce section. I don't think anyone understands how to eat any of that produce at the supermarket.
Yeah, that's a like horrible answer.
Pomegranates.
you clearly don't understand what we're talking about here.
That is bad.
You clearly don't understand what we're saying here.
All right, produce. Devin, give me an answer. Something famous, but also kind of obscure in a certain way.
Joan of Arc. I think a lot of people, at least myself, like we know who she is, but I couldn't tell you when she was alive what she did.
Warrior. Do you know she was a warrior?
1500s, I think, right?
I would guess that she's a warrior.
Female warrior is what she's saying. Yeah. French female warrior.
I did not know she was French.
Yeah. Right, so we know a little bit more. Huh? I know. All right, Seltzer. Very famous.
This side topic.
Yeah. What's
the, so the question about is it? What something you don't know
other people
about,
other
or
people,
other people don't know about. So, other people don't know, but you know about.
No, I don't know what
so
you don't understand.
You don't know about it.
You've heard of the person.
How do you know?
John, listen. You've heard of the person or the thing, but you can't speak much about it. Like Joan of Arc. Here's what I know. French woman warrior. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
That's not as much as I know about George Washington. I could give you 100 facts about George Washington. I give you 3 facts about Joan of Arc. Everyone's heard of Joan of Arc. Does that make sense?
Not really.
Okay.
I'm still not following.
Okay. I think there's other people out there smarter today than Stanford. Seltzer, give me an answer that actually works.
Yeah, I love this because you can look like an idiot right away.
You can. And I'm going to be ruthless on the callers today.
Yeah, because I've heard this a million times. I know it's something to do with electricity, I think. Yep. I don't know. Superconductors. What the hell are they? No idea. It's a thing.
I agree with that.
Right?
Yeah.
You've heard of them.
Smarter, my brother worked on one.
Smarter
there you go.
People
see,
than me
some
know.
Some people know. I have no idea what a superconductor is.
Okay. Is this like mostly science stuff?
It might
be. Not everything.
Joan of Arc was
saying. I would say science or history.
But I feel like this is like, this is the stuff that you should look up.
Well, people might.
Like you could Google it and that's where you would say, okay, there's a lot more.
Well, yeah,
I could learn
but like
about it.
Before you do that it can be your answer.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Rhea, give me an answer.
So I know
make it better than the banana, please.
No.
Pomegranate.
Sometimes I'll say this to people, and usually they're under the age of 40, maybe even 30, and I'll go, What are you like Zapruder-ing that?
Yeah.
And they go, what do you mean? And I go, the Zapruder film? They have no idea what it is.
Yeah, so I would say that's a little different. That, to me, is more like someone that doesn't know it at all, which is slightly different than my example of El Cid that I think most people have heard of.
But there are some people like my age, I've brought it up, and they have no idea what Zapruder
is. No, I get it. I get it. I do get it. All right, give us a big-time answer. Thread that needle, 215-592-9494. By the way, before we go back to the phones, let's listen to Sosa's catch last night, not the non-catch. By Rojas, but the actual catch by Sosa, because it was phenomenal. I mean, it was like extra phenomenal. And we shouldn't, let it go by without acknowledging it because of what went wrong in the game. Let's listen to the moment when Sosa made a great grab.
0-2, hit in the air to left field, pretty well hit. Sosa's getting a chance, go over toward the corner, toward the wall, and he reaches up, and he made the catch! Oh, like Spider-Man! Edmundo Sosa getting his feet wet here in the bottom of the first inning. He just robbed Marcell Ozuna of a home run. And look at the smile on his face.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, for his first start ever and the first opportunity he ever got in his first start, that was incredible.
So cool.
What happened thereafter? Not so much.
Is there nothing he cannot do?
Love the guy. I'm a big fan. Of course, you know, when all is said and done, Ray, he'll probably be back at like 250. Because,
I know. That's okay. We'll take advantage of it.
We're all like, we'll ride the 400 wave while we got it. All right, let's go to the phones. Your reaction to everything going on here. Mike in Douglasville. Mike, good morning.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing great, Mike.
Hey, so first things first, all credit to Sosa for that catch. It was unbelievable. I was shocked when he caught it. But hey, he made a good catch. I'm proud of him. So let me ask you this question. Why was Sosa in left and Rojas in center field? And I have an answer. I just want to see what you guys think.
Well, the simple answer is because Rojas is a better center fielder than Sosa.
Okay, but no, I'm not saying why wasn't Sosa playing center or anything like that. Okay. But why were those two specifically in
because the Marsh doesn't hit left-handed hitters well, and Rob Thompson knows that, and he went with two right-handed bats.
It's because Sosa's bat is freaking hot,
right.
and Thompson does not want to take him out of the lineup.
Part of it.
And why was Rojas in center instead of Marsh? Yes, because he has a little bit better of a bat than Marsh when it comes to lefties, but also Rojas' defense is better than Marsh's, so that way he can make up for any insufficiencies that Sosa has.
He maybe can make up for deficiencies Sosa has.
Well,
but
I mean, if you just put it to thought, then that's probably the answer. But whether or not it actually works out in reality, that's a different question.
Well, let me ask you this question, because, Mike, here's what I'm confused about. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. What's your point?
If this team would have done what I believe they should have done for the last year, over past the year, and this has nothing to do with my previous calls about Bryce Harper and Wright.
Sure.
This has everything to do with Trey Turner in center. Trey Turner in center, if he has the opportunity to work on it, I'm not saying put him there tomorrow, I'm not saying they're put him there today, but if he has the opportunity to work on it in an offseason, get better at it, get familiar with it, he has that star power, that cachet to call off someone like Sosa.
Well, it's not about star power. Well, let me just clarify one thing. It's not about star power to call off, because you can have a scrub center fielder and it's still his ball and he's got to know it. And the left fielder and right fielder got to know that it's the center fielder's ball if he calls for it. And the problem is Rojas didn't call for it. That's the main problem.
It's Rojas's fault.
Now, your point about maybe Trey. Go ahead, Mike.
Do you have a microphone on them? Because Sosa could have been sitting there saying, I got it.
That's not what he said. That's not what he said. It came out after the game that Sosa was. Yeah, so matter of fact, Rob, Mike, I'm going to play the audio for you right now. Let's listen to Rob Thompson after the game last night. Hang on a sec, Mike. Let's listen to Topper after the game on what happened in the outfield. He gave an explanation.
Yeah, there was miscommunication, but Rojas is the captain out there, and he's got to take charge. He's got priority, and so we talked to him about it. Especially, you know, guy's playing left field for the first time in his life. So.
Was Sosa calling it? Is that what the mis-
Actually, he was saying you.
Oh.
Which you shouldn't say anything. So there was a little bit of both. But yeah, it's Rojas' ball.
All right, so Mike, to be fair to Rojas, what Topper's alluding to is that Rojas got a little confused hearing Sosa saying you, but not fully putting it all together, and he deferred to Sosa, who Rojas thought Sosa was about to catch it. The problem is twofold. One, Sosa shouldn't say you. That's clear, because that can create confusion. The second problem is, even if the left fielder calls for it, if the center fielder can catch it and calls him off, that's what he should do. And that's not what Rojas did.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't hear that before. So, but, I mean, listen, the general crux of my conversation that I've called in multiple times about, if we were to have an outfield of Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, and Nick Castellanos, then ultimately we don't have Sosa in left field for the first time ever. Sosa could be playing second base, where he's probably a lot more comfortable, and we could be having the conversation about being able to trade someone like Kepler, Marsh, Rojas.
I agree.
Who obviously aren't necessary now a relief pitcher.
I agree with that. All right, my man, give me an answer. Something really famous, but a lot of people don't know much about.
So I'm not going to lie, I'm a little confused, kind of like Richie. So I don't know if this is going to work or not, but we're going to try it.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know the saying, cooler than sliced bread, right?
Yes.
You guys also know who Betty White is, right?
Yes.
Did you know Betty White was born before the invention of sliced bread?
I did not know that, and that's definitely not an applicable answer to win the tickets today, but it's a cool fact.
Fun fact.
So how did they not slice bread before 1920 or something?
They just put loaves in, and I guess people ripped them apart.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Or you sliced it yourself.
That's hard to believe. I mean, That's really hard to believe. Hey, we got two different Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevy is your Corvette headquarters. Have you dreamt about owning a Corvette? Well, now's the time. Visit ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. All right, two different poll questions. The first, and we're going to the other sports we haven't gotten to yet today. The draft, 15 days. Trying to gauge your interest level and excitement for this one. Poll question, are you excited for the NFL draft in 15 days? Because candidly, I'm going to tell you, I've noticed very, very, very few people that are really, really excited. And normally by this time we would be. Now, 32nd pick changes the equation a bit. But we ask you, are you excited for the NFL draft in 15 days? Three choices. A, very excited. B, a little excited. C, not excited. It's a weird one, man. This is a different ramp up to a draft. It's a slow incline. I'll put it that way. So you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly weigh in on the phone lines as well, 215-592-9494. Second poll question, Sixers and Flyers are both winding down. Inglorious, as both seasons have been, no question. Both teams are going to miss the postseason. That is factually true. Looking ahead to next year, and maybe they both miss it again. Maybe. But we will ask you this question. Which team is more likely to make the playoffs next season? The Flyers, who at some point have got to sign players and add and ramp up and build and frickin' make the playoffs, or the Sixers, who if they have their main guys healthy, certainly should make the playoffs. Then it's a matter of, do you think they'll actually be healthy enough for the team to make the playoffs? Better chance next year to make the playoffs. Is it the Flyers? Is it the Sixers? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. And weigh in on the phone lines at 215-592-9494. Speaking of weighing in, you can weigh in with a good question for AMA. We're doing that today at 720. Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways you can get to Seltzer to get to us. What are some questions you want to know? We'll get to that coming up later in the 7 o'clock hour. Ruben Amaro joins us next. Phone calls as well on a busy Wednesday morning on 94 WIP.
Whether you are a weekend warrior or competing at a high level, you are an athlete with goals and NovaCare Rehabilitation is here for you with NovaCare's Select Sports Center of Excellence. Their specialty locations focused on the needs of athletes. If you're injured, NovaCare will help you get back to playing your sport. They'll also help you prevent injuries from happening, and NovaCare will prepare you to compete at your highest level of performance. At all Select Sports Center of Excellence, athletes are treated for their specific injury, training needs, and goals. Most importantly, care is provided by sports-specific physical therapists who use advanced training and technology. For more than 30 years, NovaCare has long been the trusted Delaware Valley and South Jersey leader in physical therapy, hand therapy, and sports medicine. Select Sports Center of Excellence. Just one more way NovaCare is meeting your needs. To learn more about Select Sports Center of Excellence, go to NovaCare.com today. Excellence is earned. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.
You're listening to the best of the WIP Morning Show with Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Thursday morning with a fight in Phil's. They had a fight last night. They had a scrap, and they did get that W, which was certainly good to see. It was an adventure. It was an adventure getting there. Look, we'll break down the Phillies game, and obviously, as we do on a daily basis, what it all means for the process of this season. We'll also talk a lot about the draft today, as it's coming up now in just 2 weeks, exactly 2 weeks to an NFL draft. Brandon Graham, he said an awful lot yesterday in an interview. We'll play that audio for you as we move through the program. Look, all of it with you on the phone lines. We got Phillies tickets to give away today. You can join us, 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello.
Good morning there, Johnny.
Diastema is the term for a gap between teeth.
Wow. Stray hand.
Not just. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like
not
just
the front teeth.
Stray hand.
That's not it. Just the front teeth, any teeth, but that is an example of a diastema.
Yep.
Michael Strahan.
Yep.
Fancy
teeth.
Term for that.
Yeah. Diastema.
Well,
it sounds like you really know what you're talking about if you say diastema.
Oh, you got a diastema, I see, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, diastema.
You know what I thought of?
What?
Our buddy Harry Mace.
Yeah.
Shout out to Harry.
He's definitely a little diastema.
For those that know Harry,
He's diastemic.
What's going on back there?
Exactly. He's a good dude. All right, good morning to you. 215-592-9494. 94. Well, look, I guess the Phillies, can I use this segue? They had some gaps in their game last night, but they pulled it out. You know, this was
one of my favorite things is the segue
these
days.
Thank you, sir. This was a...
That was a pretty good one.
That was not bad.
That was pretty
good. Because there were issues.
We had some gaps.
So this was one of those, like, when the game's over, not that maybe you, like, literally write it down, but in your mind, there's this... There's this accounting for the positives that I saw and the negatives that I saw. Now, John, I don't know which you're reflecting on more this morning, but there were a whole bunch of both. In some ways, honestly, I think there were more negatives. The irony is the Phillies pulled out a win and got the W, which is, you know, the ultimate positive, at least with regard to last night. But, John, so much within that game. What hits you on either side of the ledger? What hits you the most?
What hits me the most is Taijuan Walker has a zero ERA and two wins.
He didn't get a win last night.
Oh, he didn't?
No, he didn't pitch five
no
innings.
Decision.
Yeah, but two starts.
Wow.
And two,
so
yeah,
he
you
was
have to go
four
five.
And two-thirds.
Yeah.
He was that close. He was Correct. Four and two-thirds. He was that close to having two wins.
Yeah.
And he's got a zero ERA. Yeah. How's that?
Yep.
Alec Bohm continues to...
Oh, you went to the negative pretty quick. that wasn't long on the positives, ladies and gentlemen. He was like, yeah, Taijuan. All right, let me talk about Bohm.
No.
Listen, John, Bohm is worth talking about, man.
I am worried.
It's a thing.
About Alec Bohm.
I know.
That comes to the top. That simmers. That has been simmering. That boils to the top. I have a problem with the constant sulky remnants. You know, the sulky reminders that, wait a second, is he flipping out right now?
Yeah.
Like, I'm constantly vigilant.
I didn't think it was as bad, though, last night.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It totally wasn't. But I do think his play is now being affected by the fact that he's, you know, in a weird place emotionally.
I agree with that.
So that's not good. I'm frustrated by that part of things. It was awesome to see Trey Turner summon power.
Yep.
Because that, you know, the speed and power combo is something that I am... So it's rare from my experience.
Let me give you a negative for a moment while we're on Trey, because it is good to see him summon the power, and he needs to do that more and more if he can't move much to his left defensively. I mean, there's balls that are hit. It's like, oh, I know Jimmy would have gotten it. But I'm also thinking freaking Desi Relaford would have gotten it. I mean,
Desi.
There are balls to his left and probably to his right as well. He just is... Because that is one of the things that stood out to me last night. Now, John, don't get me wrong. This is not me trying to come down too hard on the Phillies. I think they're a great baseball team. But candidly, for me last night, the negatives were more plentiful than the positives. I mean, the bullpen is like, because I don't think Taijuan's...
Did Alvarado get us the save?
Well,
did it count as a save last night?
Yeah. But again,
Alvarado was scary.
It was scary.
Over 100 miles an hour.
Here's the one thing I'll say in the midst of that high wire act by Alvarado last night. I wasn't dismayed with how the runners got on base. It wasn't a situation where he was wild. Like, the Braves were actually just getting hits, and I can respect that. I mean,
also, it's hard to come in and get that big out in an inning, sit on the bench, then come back out and ratchet it back. It's hard for those guys. Like, the fact they got through it, I was impressed.
With this bullpen, though, James.
You have a choice. That's the problem. Have a choice.
Well, that stood out to me the most last night. The bullpen stood out to me the most.
Because Kirkring was supposed to be emergency only, and he had to get up and start warming up because Alvarado gave up two singles in the ninth inning. That's not the way it's supposed to work. We don't have enough right now. Guys are stretching.
Correct.
Like I said, if Alvarado's out there throwing 18 pitches 100 miles an hour or greater, that wear and tear, I'm worried about that part of things.
I agree
not
with that.
Not right now, but in a couple months.
Look, so yeah, that's on the table. Look, the whole game's on the table, and obviously what it means within the course of the season at 215-592-9494. I mean, another one... is Marsh. Like, at least with Bohm, I feel like I can say Bohm is a good baseball player who is currently struggling and may not work out here, but is a good player, I think.
A good offensive player.
Well,
player.
But I mean, on the whole, both offense and defense combined, he's a good baseball player. Marsh is a below average player.
Period.
He's not a starter.
He's not a starter. But you know
he's
what?
He's a fourth outfielder.
But you know what, Ray? On this team, he starts.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So, like, and here's the thing about Marsh's low batting average, and you can track this to last year, that's, to me, particularly dismaying. Most of his at-bats are against right-handed pitchers. Like, he's been kind of platoonish guy. That makes his low batting average look even worse because Rob Thompson doesn't put him in a position to face left-handed pitching all that often. I mean, he's supposed to be elevated by 20 to 40 points typically because he's facing typically only, you know, right-handed pitching. So the Marsh thing to me is a concern. Now, look, I don't want to overdo it here, guys. I was excited the Phillies got the win. I really was. I mean, look, they haven't lost the series yet this year, and they can keep that streak going tonight if they can get the W. Obviously, you know, you pretty much always are wrapping back to another good starting pitcher after Taiwan's done. Credit to Taiwan for looking like a good pitcher last night, or good enough. He didn't go long, but as John said, he didn't give up a run. I mean, Trey and Bryce both had massive home runs. I mean, they're both the fun home run types. One, the Bryce one in the seventh, you're down, you're up.
Awesome.
Like, that's a big moment. Matter of fact, let's hear that moment. I want to hear Bryce's home run last night. If you missed the game, bottom line is the Phils were down, tight game, 2-1, well pitched. Down 2-1, seventh inning, Bryce.
Harper swings, hits one high in the air, deep right center field, and that ball is gone into the Braves' bullpen. And Bryce Harper has finally connected again against Atlanta, and he's turned the game around. 3-2 Phillies on Harper's second home run of the season.
All right, so when a moment like that happens, there's two things to me that go through my mind, number one, right away. Number one, I'm psyched. It's awesome, right? Bryce did it. That's awesome. He's the man, because he is. But the other thing is, you say, I hope my team doesn't give the lead back up again. Like, let's be up for good. Because you're late enough in the game, let's be up for good. Well, they weren't up for good. So it required then a Trey situation in the ninth inning. Trey in the ninth with another absolutely big one.
And he swings and drives one high in the air, deep left field. Eli White going back to the track at the wall. He jumps. He can't get it. It's gone. And Turner has taken Iglesias deep here in the ninth inning. Phillies are back in front on the solo shot by Trey Turner. His first of the year. And what a time for it. It's 4-3 Phillies.
And look, obviously, as I said, the Phillies have a chance to win the series tonight. That would keep their streak going, a four straight series out of the gate, not having lost the series. They are way up on the Atlanta Braves. The Phillies have an outstanding record. This is just one of the, look, maybe there's many games. I guess there's a ton that there's a ledger good and bad. This one for me just felt more, James, this one to me felt more complex in that regard.
I totally agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, especially in light of the night before and the way they lost that game the night before and the bullpen and the fact that, you know, and the fact that it's been this, like, do you guys know what Alec Bohm's OPS is for the season? Take a guess. OPS
500
396.
Yeah,
he has a 396 OPS on the season. He has been horrendous.
Yeah.
He had one hit that mattered all season. That hit and was a big hit.
Opening
yeah,
game.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah,
like. And to John's point,
and
like,
by the way, they're what 11 games in now?
They're 8-3. Yeah, 11 games. It's small sample size, but it's starting to be a sample size.
Not that small,
exactly. And to John's point, last night he was better about it, but he still threw his bat down after that first one. The spots are finding him. He's coming up in big spots with runners on when they need something. And I think his emotions, he is not controlling them. Like, he is not focused. He is not locked in these at bats. He is swinging early. He's striking out. He is not making good contact. Like, Alec Bohm is a problem right now.
He's thinking about the negative, and it's affecting his game.
And Alec, don't you understand? This is why you were shopped in the offseason.
Yeah.
You have to get this under control. This is a real problem.
Yeah.
And it's self, you're perpetuating the problem by acting childish, by having such a problem with struggling, and everyone's going to struggle, man.
Right.
This game, it's so tough, and it's okay to struggle. Like, you have to get to that point where you come to that realization. It doesn't seem like it's amazing to me that he is 29 years old and he's acting this way.
Yeah, I and it's a 6 year in Major League Baseball. Guy's been around now.
Look, 215-592-9494. So your reaction to the game, your reaction to the positives and negatives within it, and there were a bunch on both sides of the ledger, and what you think it means for this club. 215-592-9494. We're going to get to an awful lot today. Your chance to win Phillies tickets, a lot of Brandon Graham audio. He said some really interesting things. We'll get to that and more. Phone calls on all of this. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It is, of course, as always, 94 WIP. All right, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook, and let me tell you about the Masters. So you can swing into the biggest golf event of the year with FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, where every putt and drive can bring you closer to victory. Right now, all customers with the Masters, all customers get a profit boost every round of golf's first major. Boost your winnings on anything from outright winners to round leaders to tournament matchups and so much more. So many spectacular golfers in the world. Obviously, the most famous is not going to be playing this time round, but so many others are, and you can find the bet or bets that works for you and lock them in at FanDuel.com/hammer. Find those bets for Augusta and lock it in at FanDuel.com/hammer. All sorts of bet types, including live betting during the tournament, obviously, as it's going on, FanDuel.com/hammer.
You're listening to the best of the WIP Morning Show with Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie.
But that was one of the moments of the year so far. You know, it's only been 2 weeks, but ninth inning home run to take the lead, in all likelihood, give you a win. And it did, because obviously Alvarado closed it down. That was good stuff there last night. Great to be with you on this Thursday morning. 2 weeks to the draft. Goddard thing is lingering. Who they're going to pick is obviously in the air. We'll find out in 2 weeks. A lot of possibilities. They could go up 10. They could go back 10. Remember, it's easier to go up 10 and back 10 when you're that deep. You know, it's not like if you're at pick 12, it's hard to go up 10. It's hard to go from 12 to 2. Granted, the Eagles one time famously, pulled it all off. But that's rare. There's a swath of 30 to 40. John, I really believe there's 30 to 40 different guys they could draft in the first round or early second round, depending if they move up to 20 or back to 40. I mean, there's just a ton of guys, which makes it, let's be real, makes it a little bit harder to kind of dig into knowing who they're going to, thinking who they're going to take. And it's complicated. There's just a lot of, and also, the top of a draft is typically, you poll general managers, you're going to get more consensus on these 10. These 10, most general managers will tell you seven or eight of the top 10. You get down to 32, it becomes the Wild West of opinions, obviously. So we'll see what happens with the draft. All right, Phil's last night, some good and some bad. Both sides of the ledger had some really notable things. Taiwan was great, John. I mean, he didn't pitch forever. It was only 4 2/3, but he'd give up a run.
Is he great? It's hard to tell.
He's not great, but he's getting outs. I mean, the third inning with the bases loaded, getting out of that? That was a big spot. So he has not gotten out of them. Past.
Is he better? It looks like it.
He looks like it.
I think he's better than us.
I think it would be unfair to say no to that. I think that would be unfair.
So great.
Yeah, shocking.
And look, he has pitched well in the majors before in his life. There's a reason he got $72 million.
Right.
Even if it was an overpay in the moment. Like,
of course.
He has it in him. He's done it before. And you hope, after the first start, they talk so much about personally he took last year and how hard he worked this offseason. And that can be, nonsense sometimes. Yep. But sometimes it's real. Sometimes guys have the competitive fire and they go back and they put the work in.
Sometimes.
So it is possible that we get a better version of him.
I just can't get over how everyone seems to really like Taiwan.
Well, on a personal level, they do.
As fans really didn't like Taiwan.
Yeah.
That team, and you know what? Your performance does dictate the way guys feel about you in the clubhouse. It's just the way it is. Even though his performance should have led those guys to dislike him, they still liked him.
Well,
I thought
liked
that
him personally,
was notable.
Yeah. They respected how he was going about his business. He just stunk for a year and a half.
He sure did.
So that was certainly one of many positives. Rhea, biggest negatives last night? Because there's four or five options for this. What's the biggest negative?
The biggest negative is they have major bullpen problems.
I agree with you. I think that is the biggest negative.
They are going to I don't know what the answer is, because the fact that they had to get Kirkering up in an emergency situation, you're like, oh, this is not good.
Correct.
The Romano not being able to pitch well is a huge problem.
It's causing a lot of it. Like, we already knew they were a little light going into the bullpen this year, even if Romano was pretty good.
Yeah.
You could just do the math and be like, I don't have as many arms as I trusted last year. And now, with him being, like, it just feels like currently a non-option.
You've got to really rely now on, like, Lizardo's got to go deep.
Tonight. Yeah, no, whole thing. Yeah.
It's a whole, you know, it's a cascading effect.
It is. All right, so the whole Phillies thing on the table for you, 215-592-9494. Let's get to Logan right now in Delaware. Logan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Doing great, Logan.
Good. So a couple things. I'll start with the negative, so that way we can end on a positive. Mm-hmm. The negative with Boehm is just, I mean, it's really baffling. It really is. I mean, there's guys like Marsh on the team whose jobs are in more jeopardy, and they're not running around pouting, you know, stressed out at every at-bat, desperate. Honestly, it almost looks like, you know, when's that bat going to come where he's going to strike out and he's going to cry? Like, that's seriously what it seems like.
Look, yeah. I can't tell you you're wrong.
Or like throw his bat like at the dugout or whatever. I mean, you know.
It looks like it's eating him up, Logan. Like we rarely see. Yeah. It's like the Nelson Aguilar thing in 2016.
16, yeah, because he was getting 17, yeah.
You know, it's not quite the same thing, but every once in a while you can just see or hear if he talks. And in Aguilar's standpoint, he was giving quotes, and you could just tell the guy was so affected by the struggle.
But Alec Boehm knows that he was on the trading block this offseason. You would expect he would be on his best behavior rather than this, which is just a continuation of the impetuous behavior.
Well, I agree with that, and I'll say this. And, Logan, hang on one second if you can.
Poor play offensively.
Course. So, you know, there were even when the Eagles had their struggles over the last few years, and at times they did. Obviously, they were having a good record even before they won the Super Bowl, but there were issues. There were a lot of people laughing at Sirianni with dog mentality. And I was one of them. I mean, you hear about all dog mentality. It was a lot. But if you really drilled down at the heart of what he was saying is don't act like Alec Boehm. Dig down. This is your opportunity for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, however long you're a pro athlete. This is your chance. Okay, so you struggled last time. What are you going to do about it now? Dig down. And it's like, Logan, it's like Boehm is struggling with that, and it's just perpetuating. It's not good, man.
Nick struggled a little bit last year in the beginning. I mean, Nick Sirianni, he struggled.
No, he didn't. Well, he's had struggles at various junctures.
Yeah, so
that was one of them.
Yeah, and that was one of them, and then calmed down throughout the rest of the year.
He did.
So he actually, you know, did it.
And there's no one, even when we were frustrated with always hearing about it, that would tell you that it's not a good message. Of course, all he's saying is fight through adversity. And right now, Logan, Boehm is struggling to fight through adversity.
Well, and you have examples on this team of people who, I mean, I know it's only been two starts, and maybe he doesn't have an amazing comeback season. But look at how Taiwan, at least.
I agree.
Handled himself. I mean, he was getting booed on his first start of the season at home. And he had composure, and he showed that he worked his butt off in the offseason to earn his spot in the lineup, at least while Ranger's not healthy.
Totally agree.
Learn from these guys.
Logan, I'm with you, man.
Real quick, the positive, I think, is they are striking out still, but their at-bats and their new approach seem to be, for me at least, very noticeable.
I agree.
I think they had 14 or 15 three-ball counts last night. So if they can iron out some of these other things and keep that moving forward, I think that can make them really dangerous.
That was part of a long game. That was a long,
dude, especially
game.
It was longer the night before. There were so many more runs the night before.
It was
a
long game for nine innings.
The starter barely went five, and he had 104 pitches.
Yeah, I know. All right, Logan, give me an answer. A memorable split.
Memorable split. I'll go with the trading of Babe Ruth. Curse.
Yeah, that's a big answer too. All right, so Babe and the Boston Red Sox. How about that? Not a bad answer at all. By the way, speaking of answers, I'll give you an answer with some life advice with the Hammer coming up at 9:15 today. What do you need help with in your life? Get to Seltzer on Facebook, Twitter, or the text line. Three ways you can get to Seltzer to get to me as far. Talk to my people. My people will talk to your people. Now, here's the deal. I'll talk to you right on the air. I mean, I'll tell you. I'll give you some help. But tell me what you're struggling with, and we'll have some fun with that coming up at 9:15. Reds right now in Morgantown. Reds, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's going on?
Hi, Reds.
Phillies.
Yes.
you know, I
that pause says little, that pause says a lot. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I love that they split with the Dodgers, and I love that they're
two or three.
And I'm really hoping they do the same with the Braves here. But I mean, I gotta agree with Rhea here. I mean, that bullpen scares the living out of me. It really does. I mean, I really hope that Dombrowski can pull a rabbit out of his hat, mid-year or something, move something around.
Well, the biggest rabbit is probably going to be two different starting pitchers that go in the bullpen. The problem is that's not going to happen for many months.
Yeah.
It's just not. And,
You need your guys to be, you need Alvarado and Stramenot to survive. One way or another, they're going to have to, whether it's guys coming up from the minors or whether it's trades, they're going to have to find more arms they can pitch this season that Rob Thompson can go to.
Particularly for the next 2 to 3 months.
That's what I'm talking about for the season.
This is when they're most vulnerable right now, this stretch.
I can tell you this. I agree with you, Joe. I mean, Romano ain't it.
No.
I don't care what anybody says. He ain't it.
Look, you never know. A guy could have it bounce back, but it's just something done. Multiple things do not look right with that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Since Danelle Pumphrey got here did I feel so bad about a player so early in his tenure.
You
could just see the guy couldn't play.
No.
Danelle
Pumphrey couldn't play. Romano has played well. His arm might not be back.
Eyes have not seen it, James. I'd seen it, didn't count.
But did you watch him with the Blue Jays at all? Not. I didn't think so.
Joe was a big Blue Jays fan.
He got out, man.
All right, Reds, give me an answer for a memorable split.
Well, I was telling James, I need clarification or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be looked down upon it, but can the split be someone who did something for so long but due to death or just moving on because he was too old? Is that okay?
I mean, it doesn't sound advisable, but if you want to...
You can say whatever you want.
If you want to bring it, we'll judge it. Just give me an answer.
My answer was Bob Barker, Price is Right.
Not really.
No, he retired.
Death is not a split.
He retired first anyway, but yeah.
He didn't lose the job because of Parkinson, right?
No, he retired. Yeah, he might have retired because of that. I don't know, but he retired on his own for sure.
If you retire because of that, it's not retired on his own. But I don't think he got fired from there, but it's not a good enough answer. Not good. All right, 215-592-9494. Brandon Graham on the re-injury, but having played through the Super Bowl. We'll get to that audio. Rob Thompson talked at the game last night about the bullpen. Also, BG on the retirement thing. Some pretty interesting audio. We'll get to that and more phone calls on all these topics on 94WIP.
Swing into the biggest golf event of the year with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, where every putt and drive can bring you closer to victory. Because right now, all customers can get a profit boost every round of the first major. Just head to FanDuel.com/JohnR, JONR, to boost your winnings on anything from outright winners to round leaders to tourney matchups, and so much more. No matter how you want to bet this legendary tournament, it'll be even more enjoyable if you boost it at FanDuel.com/JohnR, JONR. FanDuel is your go-to for betting on Augusta. Tee off with a variety of bet types and live bet as the tournament drama unfolds. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. So don't wait. Visit FanDuel.com/JohnR, JONR, to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, and swing for some green at Augusta.
This is the best of the WIP Morning Show with Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie.
All right, let's talk about the draft. Let's talk about the season that just was, obviously, when the Eagles won. All of this and more with our next guest, Elliot Sher Parks, who joins us most Fridays, and he's with us right now. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing?
Quite a bit, my man. Quite a bit. That was a great interview with Mayock yesterday, and
we're
going to play more of that audio coming up here in the next few minutes, other pieces of audio from it. But, Elliot, let's start, before we get to the draft and what lies ahead, a lot of our show today has been focused on what was with the Eagles Super Bowl. We hadn't revisited it in about a month and a half. And as you reflect back, not just to the game, but the journey, the 5-6 month journey, what stands out to you when you look back in the rear view?
Man, that's such a tough question because I feel like there's so many things. I mean, it's probably in my career the most just rewarding season I've ever covered. But I think just what I'll remember most, if you know, hopefully in 10 years we're still doing this, like just the mentality of the team. I think one thing I'll learn from this season and covering seasons to come is how much it just matters, like the mentality of the team, how focused you are. Is everyone rowing in the same direction? And that's something I feel like I noticed pretty early on with this team. And then to take that a step further, personally, I'll always have regrets that I thought it would be a close game. Like, to all season, be around that team, and then going into that final week, I remember being on Radio Row in New Orleans and telling callers, like, no, it's going to be close. It's going to be close. And then, obviously, it wasn't. So, right. I'll always remember on what a mission they were on and how well, like, executed that mission was.
Yeah, no, it was an all-timer. And obviously, especially coming out of the 2023 debacle at the end. I mean, as you said, Elliot, we could have a thousand things for this answer. I mean, one thing, a name that I don't even think has come up on our show yet today, Saquon Barkley. I mean, it was until the very end when it turned into an all-time Eagles season. For 4.5 months, it was Saquon's season. I mean, that was the defining thing for the vast majority of the year. Was this is an all-time season by an all-time athlete in Philadelphia sports.
Yeah, I mean, like, I never thought I'd see another, like, 04 T.O., 01 Iverson. Like, for me, those are the seasons. I know everyone has their own seasons.
Sure.
But for me, those are the ones that I always, like, stick out. And now, again, not to keep aging ourselves, you know, like, in 20 years, I'll remember 2024 Saquon. Like, it was that type of year. And just also, again, like, from my perspective of being around him, I was floored at how much he added to the locker room. Like, I don't think he gets enough credit for when there were rocky points of the season, because there were. Like, all the memories today will be positive ones. But let's not act like there weren't moments in the season where it could have fallen apart. And Saquon, just from talking to the players, like, was huge in those moments. Like, as a vocal leader, not just a player, but as a vocal leader. So Saquon's, absolutely a massively special season.
Elliot, what does your offseason look like, and how much access will you have to these players now in the next, I don't know, month and a half, 2 months? Are there a lot of opportunities for interaction with the new guys who have been brought in and will be working out? How does that work?
Yeah, so I would guess we're not going to hear from many players until after the draft, which, crazily enough, like within 2 weeks, we'll know who they take in the first round. But probably not much there. I did get a chance to catch up, actually, with A.J. Brown yesterday. He was at the link for an event about the FIFA Club World Cup that's coming to Philadelphia. And I did get to talk to him about his offseason, how it looks different maybe than other offseasons. And I thought his answer was super encouraging. He was like, look, winning the Super Bowl was great. I'm really happy we did it, but I'm not changing what I do in the offseason, win, lose, or draw. And the quote that has really stuck with me this offseason is Nick Sirianni saying, they have the type of leaders that if you don't work hard, you will be exposed. And I know that can be coaching, but just, I think it is very true. Like AJ, Jalen, Saquon, Devontae, like the hard workers they have on offense. And so to talk to AJ yesterday, and he had literally just come from working out to the event, like, it just has stuck with me that, they really do have leaders I think will help guard against kind of the Super Bowl hangover.
Great. That's fantastic. Elliot with us right now. Reminder, Beat the Hammer coming up in about 7 minutes. I'll give you the cue to call right now on the contest line for Beat the Hammer. Fifth caller, caller five. You can compete. Likely lose, but, you never know. Maybe win. And Beat the Hammer coming up in a few minutes. Caller number five, contest line right now, 215-988-1258. Caller number five, 215-988-1258. You'll be competing in Beat the Hammer. All right, Elliot, let's get to the draft. It's up ahead 13 days now, and 14 and 15, because obviously it's a three-day thing. So full disclosure for everyone listening, I'd asked Elliot off the air yesterday. I said, hey, try to be prepared with like a top couple players for certain positions. And who people really should start focusing in on. Not, who's the great, let's take edge rusher, Elliot. Let's start with that. Not the top edge rusher in the top five of the draft, because the Eagles aren't going to get that guy. But in the Eagles' range, Elliot, let's go edge rusher first, then we'll do D-tackle, then we'll do safety. Give us a couple names, edge rusher, because one of these guys could be an Eagle in two weeks. Edge rusher, top three, Eagles' range, what are we looking at?
And I think there's a good chance one of the names we're going to talk about will be, because I think they will attack the edge position. A name I would keep an eye on, he's actually in Philadelphia right now with a visit on the team, Texas A&M edge rusher Nick Scowerton, only 20 years old, won't even turn 21 until August. So he's one of the youngest prospects in the draft, 6'4", 280 pounds, 17 sacks in his last 35 games. And what I really like about him, what I'm sure the Eagles will like, is he has a really, really good set of pass rush moves, and he comes to the NFL with a game plan on how to attack offensive linemen. And that's such a massive advantage for any player coming into the league when you already have moves and a plan on how to attack each snap. So Nick Scowerton is a name I'd keep an eye on. But another player I think we're talking about, I heard Ray Dinger bring him up earlier in the week, Mike Green out of Marshall, the edge rush, 6'4", 22 years old. But what's interesting about him is, like, great athlete, great prospect. He does have off-the-field concerns. He had to transfer out of Virginia because of essentially a sexual assault allegation. Now, he was never charged. He said he didn't do anything. But Howie Roseman's made it clear, like, they're not drafting those guys. So Mike Green, you know, if Howie hadn't said that, I think it's someone we would talk about. But it's just an interesting decision they'd have to make there. And then I would also say James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee, 21 years old, 19 and a half sacks in his last 40 games. Just a super, super fast step, great bend, which I know they really like in their edge prospects.
James Pierce is so fast. He's a 6'5 guy. He ran a 4.4 in the 40 at the combine electronically, but the little black book on him isn't good either, Elliot. I'm concerned that the skill level is there, but the character concerns might keep him off the Eagles' radar. So these visits, the top 30 visits, is this something that we as fans have ability to keep track of? Because I know how important they seem to have been.
That's why we have Elliot on. He keeps track of it for us.
So yeah, I got most of them.
What do you got?
I think there's like 20 names I have. I could ramble off through them. But, I mean, to your point, it is a very important process. If you look at who they've drafted, Jalen Carter came in for a visit. Nolan Smith came in for a visit. I mean, pretty much every player they've selected in the first round, besides Andre Dillard, interestingly enough, has come in for a top 30 visit. So, it's really, really important. And, you know, they do leak out. I don't have all 30, but sure. I have a good portion of them.
Elliot with us right now. By the way, James Pierce is who Mel Kiper has the Eagles taking in the last mock draft. That was just a couple of days ago. Mike Green, who Ray loves, and Elliot, of course, you were just talking about, Mel's got him going 15th. So that would be way before the Eagles. But, again, the off-the-field issue certainly could cause him to drop. If he drops into the Eagles' range, would they take him or not? You know, time will tell. All right, Elliot, let's get to D-tackle. This is another big one.
Yep.
So which name should we be really eyeing for D-tackle, another potential early pick for the Eagles?
Yeah, so I think there's one very clear name here. It's probably a name you've heard on the station already, but Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss.
Yeah.
He's in the range. He's got, only 21 years old, super strong, really quick off the line of scrimmage, good pass rush numbers last year, and really someone that we've seen it time and time again. The Eagles love players that were at one point viewed as like ultra, ultra elite prospects that maybe haven't hit their potential, and Walter Nolan falls under that. So definitely someone to keep an eye on. But two other names you probably haven't heard a lot about that I think make sense at 32. Derek Harmon out of Oregon. He had 43 hurries last year from the defensive tackle position. That's like an absurd amount of quarterback hurries in the college game from that position. So he would fit really nicely next to Jalen Carter, really fast off the line of scrimmage, and he had 3 forced fumbles last year. We know how much the Eagles like to emphasize punching at the ball. And then the other name that I'm sure hasn't come up on the station, Kenneth Grant out of Michigan, only 21 years old. He's more of a prospect than a player at this point, just elite physical tools, really quick first step. He would just be more of a project, I think. But he is someone that if you look at mock drafts, he's right around that area.
Yeah, so for sure. And as regarding Walter Nolan, who, you know, some of these mock drafts have had the Eagles taking him. In Mel's latest, he's got him slipping all the way down to 39.
Why is that, Elliot? The slippage for Walter Nolan, because he was up at the top of that first round. What's going on with him?
Yeah, it feels like of all the players in the draft, and I look at mock drafts, you know, pretty much all day, like he has the widest variance where to go. Like, some people have him in the top 20. You mentioned Mel Kiper has him basically at 40. Yeah. I think it's because he is a great prospect, and he is a good player. Like, I don't want to diminish that, but he has not reached the potential that he had coming out as the number two prospect in his high school class, like going into college. So I think that people are probably torn on him a little bit. Is he somebody that just won't reach his potential, or is he somebody that still has potential to be untapped? And for the Eagles, he's the perfect prospect, because we know the Eagles get the most out of their prospects consistently. So I could see why there's a split variance on him, but I do think with the Eagles, he would, like, he'd probably be a Pro Bowl player.
And then, Elliot, let's get, that's a big statement right there. Yeah, Pro Bowl. Okay.
Saying stuff like that. I mean, is the general, well, Joe, does feel like, just to wrap that up, feels like the general consensus with this within the Eagles organization is, if they can find a guy who, even as a high schooler, was top of the creme de la creme, they feel like they can coach him back to that.
As long as it's not Jahlil Okafor. I don't care if Okafor was the best 13-year-old, the best 14-year-old, the best 15-year-old. He certainly wasn't the best 20-year-old. And certainly by 22 or 23, he was done. All right. Go ahead, Elliot. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I know, you know, tongue-in-cheek with Okafor, but he is a great, he's a great example of, over these next 2 weeks, what we're going to talk about. Like, these players, where they land is so important on if they hit their potential. Jahlil Okafor was obviously not going to be a great pro, but he landed in a bad situation.
He did.
A guy like Walter Nolan, he should be begging his agent to get him to Philadelphia. He will make so much money as an Eagle. So really, I think the Eagles have a heads up on these other teams, because they will get the best of their prospects.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, Elliot, let's do one more position, and let's make it safety. Because, you know, they lost CJGJ, and I believe the Eagles have never drafted a safety in the first round.
No.
And that'll probably continue, but you never know. I mean, CJGJ was a big loss, safety in the first round, and the Eagles range. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I do think there's a chance they draft a safety. I don't think they're sold on Sidney Brown. So three names to keep an eye on. Obviously, Malachi Starks. We've talked about him a ton. The good news with him is it does seem like he's falling in these mock drafts. He's much more in, like, the mid-20s range. One draft even had him going 31 to the Chiefs, which I'm sure would go over well with the fans. So Malachi Starks, certainly a name to keep an eye on. But the other one, Nick Eamonworthy out of South Carolina, only 21 years old. He's 6'3", which is great size for a safety. Just an unbelievable athlete for the position. And what I like about him, and I'm sure the Eagles will too, is you look at where he lined up last year. 414 snaps in the box, 140 snaps, 6 snaps in slot, and almost 200 snaps deep. So he lined up all over. Now, I'm sure they'll want to have him hone in on one spot, but there's a lot of tape to watch of him of doing different things. So Nick Eamonworthy, some people think he could get drafted before Malachi Starks. So he's one of the top safeties.
Very nice.
And then the other one,
yeah, go ahead.
The other one, quickly, Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame. He had 13 interceptions the last two seasons. That's, like, I'm sure Nick Sirianni will, like, salivate watching this guy play. He's a hard hitter, and he used to play receiver, so he's really smart at recognizing offensive schemes and what receivers are going to do. So those would be the three names I keep an eye out for safety.
13 days to the NFL drafts. Elliot, fantastic work today, as always, pal. Much appreciated. We will certainly talk to you next week. Thanks, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks.
You're listening to the best of the WIP Morning Show with Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie.